Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at MoneySmarts, M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number four, the letter U.com. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. With the recent earthquakes in Japan and Ecuador and the flooding in Texas, we all need to keep in mind that there's a potential for life-changing natural disasters every day of our lives. Fires, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, avalanches, rock slides, and hurricanes are a few of the disasters that claim lives and property on Earth. In addition, although it has been years since a terrorist attack on our soil, there have been chemical plant explosions, refinery fires, and other man-made catastrophes that have required a prepared response. For you to be able to shelter in place, evacuate, and survive personally and financially in the event of a natural disaster, here are seven steps for you to take to be optimally prepared for these unexpected events. One, make a plan. I know this sounds so silly and very simple, but part of the problem with having to evacuate quickly is that you only have, in some cases, 30 to 60 seconds to do so, which means you have to know where everything is and you have to be ready to go at a moment's notice, literally. So the real question is, what is your plan? Where will you go if you have to evacuate? Sometimes sheltering in place is mandated, so keep that in mind as well. You need to remember that you want to have up to a week to 2 weeks of food, water, not only for yourself, but if you have pets, for them too. And in addition, you need to have a plan for how do you deal with the trash if services have been cut, like there's no electricity, no water. Do you have extra water available to flush toilets? Do you have body wipes or baby wipes to be able to keep yourself clean and hygienic? These are all things that you need to be thinking about. If you live on the Gulf Coast where hurricanes and refinery fires might be an issue, then you may want to make a plan for both sheltering in place as well as evacuation. When I was a kid, my aunt lived in New Orleans, also lived in Houston, and her plan was always to come here to be with my grandmother. She always knew that would be what would happen. When Hurricane Ike hit Houston, all of my daughters and their friends came here. We had 10 people in the house, and it was quite the house party, literally a hurricane party. So you need to keep in mind that there needs to be a plan, whatever that is. You need to come up with a destination, have a list of phone numbers of all your family, and I'm not talking about on your phone. I'm talking about an actual paper list that you can throw in your bob, your bug out bag, which I'll talk about a little later, in case your phone loses battery life or it's not working or the cloud has disintegrated or God knows what. So and have numbers, have those phone numbers with you, and also know several routes out of your destination. You know, we all think, oh, let's get on the freeway and we'll just zoom out of town. Well, sometimes the freeways get so clogged with people that they're going slower than the surface streets if you knew your way out on the surface streets. If you live someplace that's prone to flooding, you need to think about where the low water crossings are and where the possibilities are that you will be flooded out either of the freeway or surface streets. Also, be careful to pay attention to the low water crossing signs. And be careful if you have to drive at night that you don't drive yourself into a 6-foot lake that's been created because of a flood. Electronic maps and nav systems can be really helpful, but having a real map that includes all the farm-to-market roads and side roads can give you alternatives to a clogged freeway when the traffic is going 10 miles per hour. Now, if you do not have a family member or a friend's home to escape to, then you need to research motels and hotels ahead of time to make sure you can bring your pets and have several options to contact to make reservations. You may want to book at a chain that offers you free breakfast with your room and has suite arrangements so your family can stay together and have kitchen facilities to prepare simple meals. And this is something you want to research ahead of time. This is not something where you want to be dialing during your trip out of town to try to figure out where you're going to stay. Or if you are dialing, someone's doing the driving and somebody's been delegated to call a specific list. Start with these 5 or start with these 10 and go from there. Make a list of all the things you want to take with you and where you normally keep it in your home. After you do this, stage an emergency drill to find out how long it takes you to assemble these items. You may have only 20 to 30 minutes to get things together. You may have less to leave your home. So getting organized beforehand is important. Sheltering in place requires more home preparation, like stocking your pantry effectively, and I'll talk about that a little later. 2, get your financial house in order. If you go into a disaster with a high level of credit card debt and no savings, it will be difficult for you to survive an extended stay away from home the last 2 weeks or more. One reason I emphasize saving a small nest egg of $1,000 first is so you can have some emergency money if you need it. Saving 6 to 9 months of expenses is also important because if you have to evacuate and stay away from your destroyed home and community for several months, you will have to have something to live on while you either relocate or look for a new job. Many, many people after Hurricane Katrina were displaced from their homes, their jobs, and their assets in New Orleans, and they maxed out their credit cards, they weren't able to access their bank accounts, they didn't have paychecks, and in some cases were reduced to begging. And that was because they were not financially prepared for such an emergency. Catastrophes like these are another good reason to live within your means and pay off credit cards in full each month. You know, when I talk about living within your means, I don't talk about living paycheck to paycheck. What I'm talking about is you have a budget and you try to include in that budget savings, savings of anywhere from 5% to 25% of your paycheck. So you have a way to create your emergency fund, you have a way to invest for your future, and you also don't find yourself in a bad spot if your paycheck gets cut. Or if you're in a commission business, if sales are slow. So just remember that you want to try to have money stashed away. If you have to live away from home for 2 weeks, how much is it going to cost for you to take care of you and your family? Will food cost you $30 a day per person or more? Gasoline for a tank is $30 to $50, depending on how far you have to drive and what kind of car you drive. If you're a family of 4, that means you'll need $170 per day, not including the cost of a place to stay. That means you will need anywhere from $300 to $500 a day, totaling about $2,100 to $3,500 per week, away from home, including living quarters. That's a lot of money. If you want to use credit cards and you have good credit and the ability to pay them off in full after extended use, that may work for you. However, sometimes in emergencies, the credit card system doesn't work as it should. So you may need to have some cash, and that may be the only way you can pay for food, gasoline, or a place to stay. Consider having a reserve of cash in the amount of $1,000 to $5,000 hidden in a safe place where you can find it if you need it. 4, assemble your identity and property documents. Usually you carry your driver's license with you or some form of identity card. Maybe you have a passport too. If not, then you want to make sure you have a copy of your birth certificate in among your most important papers that you should fit in a Ziploc bag or a plastic box that's waterproof to put in your bag or car to go along with you when you evacuate your house. Along with ID, you'll want a copy of any deeds for property that you own, a recent utility bill for your home, as well as the most recent tax bill or appraisal notice for your home. These documents will provide proof of your residency and most likely will be required for readmission to your home area if you have to evacuate and there is destruction of property. Some coastal communities issue residence cards that specify that you're a resident and have the right to return to that community to survey damage or come to retrieve any salvageable items from your home. You may want to inquire at your city hall about whether such identity documents are issued by that municipality. A copy of bank statements and security statements issued within the last 3 months should be included in your paperwork. I know you can get these from the cloud, or you can get them from your bank or your investment company website, but if there is a cyber attack on all those systems, you will want a fairly recent copy that shows your account number and the value of your account in case you need to access those assets during the emergency or if your home is completely destroyed. You'll also want copies of your insurance policies for your home and car, as well as health and life policies too, or at least the policy numbers and the contact information for your agent and your insurer to facilitate any claims you have to make. Now, this week in Houston, people couldn't get to work. So if you were trying to call your insurance agent, unless you had their cell phone number or they were checking their voicemail, chances are you were not able to get in touch with them. So think about how you're going to handle these things. If you have a safety deposit box, then make sure you take the keys with you for those boxes and the most recent statement as well. If you have an inventory of your boxes, you may want to keep those with you and take those. I know by now you're thinking, oh my God, I have an entire file box of papers. Well, yeah, in a sense you do. Having these with you will facilitate your ability to make insurance claims, manage your assets during an emergency, access any funds you need during this very stressful time. Because remember, you will be emotionally upset if you're forced to leave your home. You don't know what's going on with it. You're going to worry about looters. You're going to worry about whether it's completely damaged, if it's been, you know, if it's caught on fire, or if it's underwater, or any of those things. So also make sure that your cell phones are fully charged. If you think there's a bunch of storms coming, you know, one of the things we forget to do because we're so sophisticated is to check the weather. Always make sure your cell phone is fully charged, either before you go to bed at night or when you get up in the morning, just because you just don't know. Also make sure if you have a laptop computer, it's fully charged as well. Just make sure all your electronics that are essential to you in your life are charged and turn off any apps that use battery life. 5, stock your pantry. Well, your grandma may have had jams and canned veggies, but we have a lot more to choose from now if we have to stay in place. One of the problems that has happened in hurricanes in the past and floods is that people don't have enough fresh water or something like it, and frequently, they find themselves in this position during really warm, hot, humid weather, so they end up being dehydrated, and that creates problems for a lot of people, even healthy people. Okay, so besides having a supply of bottled or canned water in your pantry, you want to add juices like V8 juice that supplies nutrients, salt, and liquid for your body. In addition, you want protein shakes that provide vitamins, fiber, and protein. Also include liquid nutrition for you. And these are things that you can rotate in and out of your pantry so that you don't discover the day you have to shelter in place that they have an expiration date on them. And the shakes you can buy, there are many different brands. There's, you know, SlimFast, Kellogg, Boost. Just, you know, go to that aisle and look and see what the nutritional content is, who has the most protein, who has the most vitamins and minerals. Buy a pack. You could even do a taste test for the whole family. Everyone could taste and vote on which one they like the best. You could kind of make it sort of a fun event. I know that sounds weird, but sometimes that's the things you have to do to get people to buy into the concept that we may have to be eating and drinking these items for a week or two in order to keep our strength up. Protein energy bars offer vitamins, fiber, protein, and other electrolytes, can easily be stored in the pantry and placed in your car during an evacuation. Jerky, as well as dried fruit, as well as nuts, can provide a variety of the food choices available to you. You want to have about 1,000 to 1,500 calories a day per person to maintain your alertness and your strength. Yes, I know, you'll lose weight, but you will escape weakness, which is one of the biggest problems that occurred during Hurricane Katrina and often occurs in multi-day flooding events. These types of food offer you a more compact source of nutrition that you can survive on for several weeks if you have enough supply. They also will help you with your digestive system and will make it a lot easier for you to climb on top of your house and be strong enough to climb a ladder into a helicopter that's trying to rescue you if it goes so far as the fact that you need a helicopter rescue. Remember that in most emergencies, the power goes out, so you want to have something to eat that's palatable without being cooked. Yes, you can buy Sterno, you can use a camping stove, but you may run out of fuel, so bars and shakes may be a good idea for you to use for your emergency rations. They also travel well, so you can just throw them in the car if you have to leave. Some Army surplus and camping stores also sell MREs, meals ready to eat, if you demand a more traditional meal replacement. Okay, remember your pets. You need to keep a month's supply of dog and cat food at home and make sure you have enough water for them too. Additionally, you want to have flashlights in every room of your home, extra batteries, duct tape, and extra garbage bags. If there's a chemical emergency, sealing your doors and windows with tape to minimize seepage will be important. You may not be able to leave the house to dispose of trash, so extra bags will be important for waste disposal. Why the garbage bags? Well, it helps with sealing. It'll save your paint, and people will not know whether you're at home or not at home, which may minimize looters and people deciding to intrude in your home. Now, water filtration powder or tablets should be added to your pantry as well, or you can use simple plain old bleach like Clorox or Purex. Just make sure it does not have some floral scent added to it. The ratio is 2 drops of bleach to 1 liter or quart of water. You let it stand for 30 minutes. If the water is cloudy, you filter it first. You may want to have something like a Pure water filter or a Brita water filter, these kinds of pitchers that you can pour the water into, on hand specifically for this purpose. Remember to watch the expiration dates on the foods I mentioned before and donate them to your local food pantry before they expire, then restock your own pantry. You'll be taking care of yourself as well as others this way. Number 6, make a bug out bag or Bob. A friend of mine says she wants to take Bob with her everywhere, meaning her bug out bag. Inside, she has a list of her medications and why she takes them, a list of any health issues she has, as well as a month's supply of any of her prescriptions. In addition, she has a couple of change of clothes, extra socks, baby wipes for a quick sponge bath, soap, shampoo, toothpaste, toothbrush, extra glasses, sunglasses, bug repellent, sunscreen, a hat, raincoat or poncho, sweater or coat, and a bathing suit. In addition, she has an extra pair of closed-toed shoes and some flip-flops along with a towel. There's also a map and flashlight included and a set of playing cards as well as a small notebook and pen and pencil. She has a printed list of phone numbers and addresses of family and friends. So if she loses her cell phone or it stops functioning, she can contact the people that she needs to get a hold of. Each of your pets should have a Bob to take with them. That includes food, water, feeding containers, and leashes and harnesses, and maybe an extra collar if you need it. You may also want to include their vaccination records so that if you have to prove your animal is safe for other people to be around, like in a shelter, you'll have that. It also would be good for you to have a carrier or have some means to be able to strap your dog or cat into the car. A carrier will protect your animal from escaping and getting lost. If you have to stop suddenly and stop and go traffic, your dog will not end up being a projectile. Make sure you have a luggage tag or card in the carrier giving your name, address, and a cell phone number in case you and your pet get separated. A backpack or easy-to-carry bag with a shoulder bag would be best for Bob so that each person can carry their own bag if walking becomes necessary. Otherwise, all of this should be able to fit in the back of your car along with a box containing foodstuffs and water, your document box, and a valuables or keepsake box as well. Create a car evacuation emergency kit. This is item 7. If you're evacuating from your home, you want to make sure your car is in good shape all the time and that you have a few extra items on hand in case you need it for a long trip. Everyone should have a flashlight in their Bob. You'll want to have a couple of flashlights in the car to use in the event you have to change a tire, add oil, or stop on the side of the road. You need a quart of the proper oil for your car, a gallon of coolant or antifreeze, at least one pair of gloves, mechanics gloves, a can of flat tire repair spray, a blanket, a tarp for changing tires in the rain, an ice scraper, and 2 to 3 gallons of water. Make sure the jack and tire tools are in your car and that you have the manual for the car you will be driving. You also want to make a copy of your car registration form and insurance certificate. Have extra phone chargers there that work in your car for all the phones your family members use. If there are too many to count, then at least pick two basic ones. A first aid kit that you purchase at a drugstore or grocery store is also a good thing to have in your car. You may only have 20 to 30 minutes notice to pack your car and get out of your community, so practice this drill at least once a year. Make sure all the boxes fit and all the bob bags, as well as the pet carriers that you will need. If you know how everything fits in the car and these boxes and their contents are kept in a specific place, it will be a snap to load your car and evacuate quickly if needed. Remember, even the youngest child can participate in this process. It will make them feel involved, included, and important. So everybody has their job, even if all it is to hold the dog's leash or hold on to the cat or make sure the cat gets in the carrier, whatever that might be. Keep in mind that emergencies are just that, an unexpected event that comes with its own set of rules. Most likely there will be no set protocol for dealing with displaced persons in the area affected, so you will have to fend for yourself. Do your best to work with the bureaucracy that evolves with the aftermath. Also, do your best to keep your temper and follow instructions mandated by law enforcement. Everyone is stressed during an emergency, so be as cool as you can to avoid further problems that might involve you and your family. I want to thank you for joining me today for Money Smarts for You show. Please be safe, be careful, pay attention to the weather, and do not drive through high water. If you have any questions, email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number for the letter U.com, and I will do my best to cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of yourself and take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.